Company. Call now for free. Log Talk Radio 561-750-6111. 561-750-6111. Online at airelectricservice.com. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Good afternoon, and welcome to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management. Ascani Wealth Management is located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Give Dan a call at 877-578-5788. That's toll-free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors and is a registered representative of Kovac Securities. Dan can help you with money management, security brokerage services, financial services including financial planning, preservation, estate protection, and much, much more. Over the next hour, Dan will share his wisdom on all of these subjects. Now, here's the host of Defending Your Money, Dan Ascani.
All right, thanks for joining me again. This is Dan Ascani. I really appreciate it when you do. I know you have a busy day. I'm glad you joined us. And you can catch us every day, 5 p.m. Eastern, on Money Talk Radio, WSBR AM 740, replayed at 6:30 a.m. So whether you're going to or from work, you can catch us. Also, you might want to catch us on Thursdays at 2 p.m. on the Health and Wealth Network. That's AM 1470. And, of course, punch in defendingyourmoney.com into your browser, and you can hear the archives of these shows. The defendingyourmoney.com address in your browser will redirect you to my firm's website, which is Ascani Wealth Management. And we are full-service wealth managers in North Palm Beach. We assist people with wealth management in many different respects, and that is discretionary account management, securities brokerage. We can get you stocks, bonds, non-brokerage product like real estate investment trusts, unit investment trusts, bank CDs, whatever it is you need, we can help you find that. And that's what we do. We assist our customers in that sort of thing. Full service wealth management it is, so that ranges from financial planning to estate planning, tax planning, and more. And there's a lot of that these days going on, of course. A lot of changes going on with Congress debating on the extension of the Bush-era tax cuts, and that's really been in the news this month as well as last, because if the Congress would not pass this extension, then, of course, everyone's tax rates go up at the first of the year, and that's right around the corner. So there's been this big debate going on in Congress and a lot of dissension after the White House made a deal with congressional leaders and upset some of the others who didn't like the deal. So there's all these, I love the way they call this, earmarks going into the bills now, and that's upsetting everyone. Pork being inserted in these bills, and that's really upsetting everyone. So the tax cut vote in the House is delayed, and that's by a dispute over the rules for the debate. Now that's interesting, because this tax extension, the Bush-era extension, passed the Senate by a wide margin, 81 to 19. It's amazing to see 81 votes for anything out of the Senate, but it did pass. They moved it back over to the House. There's been a big debate, and now they're saying, this is the Bloomberg headlines regarding this tax cut vote in House delayed by procedural dispute over the rules on the debate. In any case, they're getting in their political 1-2 punches, and they should have this resolved by the end of the year. I don't think Congress is going to go through this year and not extend the tax cuts. Just a matter of what they try to do to it on the way through, and that's what we're waiting to find out. In any case, it still looks like there'll be a 15% long-term capital gains rate, and it also looks like dividend income on both preferred and common stocks will be taxed at the old rate, which is 15% long-term gains for qualified dividends, and that most of the tax structure will be the same. There may even be some incentives restored to small businesses, tax credits, for example, on expenditures that expired in 2009, so businesses can expense expenditures instead of just depreciating it, and so forth. A reduction in payroll taxes, all kinds of things loaded into this bill, as many people feel the economy still needs stimulus and that the last thing you should do is raise taxes in the middle of whatever you want to call this. Some people call it a recession. If it's a recession, it sure has gone on a long time, and the recovery out of it sure is a tepid one. That's upsetting a lot of people, and the unemployment rate is still very high, reapproaching 10%, 9.8 as of the November numbers released earlier this month. So that brings us to where we are today with the markets digesting all this. The stock market sure acts like there's not much of a problem. It keeps inching higher and appears to be eyeballing the highest level for the end of the year, possibly. Now, what I mean by that is the market peaked around 1230 in the S&P in April and staged a lot of volatility over the summer, then launched another rally, breaking marginally through 1230 the last few days, and now inching higher, inching up toward the 1240, 1245 level as we approach the end of the year, with the Dow making it back to 11,500. These are some of the highest levels of the year for the averages, so we are seeing the stock market really not be too concerned about the House debate over whatever pork goes into these bills. And we're also seeing, so far, the stock market not too concerned with the rise in interest rates going on. There's been a sharp rise. We've been talking about that this week a lot on the Defending Money Show, sharp rise in government bond rates, in corporate bond rates, yields, that is, in municipal bond yields, sovereign debt, like the debt of the European countries that have been in trouble. And that has continued until today, where we saw interest rates come down just a little bit in the long bond. But we've seen a very sharp rise in U.S. government yields, treasury yields, corporate and municipals. Now, our view, as I said yesterday, in looking back, for example, into the Great Depression as to what interest rates did then, not to imply that this is a Great Depression, but that's the last set of data we have with the economy in this state, meaning a collapse in the wake of the collapse, a crashed stock market in the wake of the crashed stock market, and same with the real estate market. Interest rates back then and now fell to where the shortest-term Treasury bill rates, for example, the 91-day T-bill, fell to zero several times. And then there were spikes periodically in the 1930s as there were various crises that the government dealt with. But invariably, throughout the decade of the 30s, those interest rate spikes would yield to another severe decline in rates to where they fell back to the lowest levels of the decade. And this happened repeatedly through the 30s. They were battling deflation, the Great Depression, as you know, very high unemployment, and just a lot of economic muck, as a lot of people call it, the muck, kind of muck that we're going through now. But so far then, it was a Great Depression. Now, hopefully, not quite as bad. But the point is, this may be another one of those spikes in rates that ends up stabilizing. I believe that PIMCO, you know, Bill Gross of PIMCO, the largest bond manager, reportedly buying government bonds for his own account, to the tune of $17 million is the number being thrown around. So apparently that's a statement that PIMCO feels, or at least Bill Gross feels, this is not the start of an enormous spike up in interest rates, and instead that it would be contained, and that appears to be what may happen. So our view, not just because of that, but because of the data from the 30s, and with respect to the Federal Reserve saying they are going to keep interest rates that they control at or near zero for an extended period, and that the Federal Reserve is going to keep buying U.S. Treasuries to support bond prices and keep interest rates low, given that, it's difficult to believe that there's a serious enough problem right now or in the coming weeks, at least the way it looks now, to spike interest rates so high that it's more than just a temporary adjustment back up after record lows in the Treasury, the yields. So with respect to that, the stock market, as I started to say, doesn't appear to be concerned with the rise in rates so far, even though it has been very sharp, not only in treasuries, government treasuries, but also corporates and municipals. The stock market just not worried about that at this point. So we're all seeing the stock market continue to edge up, as I mentioned, and we're seeing some sectors hang in there, and I say hang in there because there's really not a lot of performance to write home about. You know, the tech sector has been strong during this rally from the August low. It continues strong. There's some country ETFs, those exchange-traded funds, or ETFs that trade all day long on the exchange. They're like mutual funds, but they're trading on the exchange. Some of those country ETFs have remained strong, like EWT, which is the iShares Taiwan ETF, and EWA, which is the Australian ETF. Those have remained strong and hover near their highs for the year, the post-crash highs for the year. And we've also seen retailers and energy strong. And while there is some fluctuation, we are still seeing those sectors hover toward the high end of the year. And other sectors like consumer goods, consumer discretionary, still near their highs for the year, just like the Dow. XLY is one ETF that's a consumer discretionary ETF. That's a Spider Select consumer discretionary ETF, holding the companies, the stocks of consumer goods, hovering near its high after a good move from the August low, under the pretense that the Fed will support bonds so that interest rates don't spike too high, and under the pretense that the Fed will continue to provide easy money policies and low interest rates to the economy to not only get the economy going, but the Fed also feeling that its mandate is to bring down unemployment. And that as part of that mandate to bring down unemployment, the Fed feels this economy does not need to risk more deflation. Instead, the Fed wants to create a little more inflation because it feels that inflation is too low, and that if it increases inflation a little bit, the economy might pick up and companies might start hiring. That's an unproven theory, but that is the Fed's theory. In fact, it feels it's the Fed's mandate. And so the Federal Reserve embarking on that policy, and not only after the crash of 2008, but also announcing the day after the election this year, the second round of that easing, which is called quantitative easing. So as we look down the sectors, we see most sectors hanging in there toward the highest levels they've been since the crash, which also were achieved last April. Now, the exception is the financial sector, where banking stocks have come back from poor performance, actually. They peaked last April along with the rest of the market, declined fairly sharply all the way to August, then bottomed and went sideways. Now, we've seen a little bit more of a recovery from the banking sector, specifically the KBW Bank Index, or the ETF that's linked to that, the Spider KBW Bank ETF, that symbol is KBE. Now that has rebounded in the last few weeks, tailed off for the last few days, well off its April high, though, so the banking sector one exception to the market in terms of being able to hang around its 2010 highs. And there are other sectors also in other areas of the globe that have been under some pressure. The European Union and the United Kingdom, for example, not too far from their highs. But they had a sharp correction in November when Ireland needed to be bailed out. They're still under their highs. So we're seeing some relative divergence from the U.S. and Europe, especially the United Kingdom. We'll go over that a little bit more after the break. This is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money show. As always, I thank you for joining me. And don't go away. We've got another segment after the break. Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough, and building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk, then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, I'm Dan Ascani, host of the Defending Your Money show. Let's face it, today's economy is tough, and building wealth in a low interest rate environment with a roller coaster stock market is difficult. That's why I always say building your wealth begins with an accurate assessment of your investments and the risks you're taking. We use modern portfolio theory to assess the risk you're taking in your portfolio so we can help you have peace of mind knowing the level of risk or standard deviation in your investment portfolio. At my firm, Ascani Wealth Management in North Palm Beach, we'll analyze your portfolio with software to help quantify the risk, then we'll make recommendations to adjust your investments to the level of risk you want to take. Call now, toll free at 877-578-5788. That's 877-578-5788 for your thorough, no-obligation portfolio review or submit your request on defendingyourmoney.com.
Dan Ascani is a registered investment advisor representative of Kovac Advisors Incorporated and a registered representative of Kovac Securities, member FINRA SIPC.
The Defending Your Money show. This show is all about you as the consumer, the investor, and or the business defending, building, and preserving your wealth in this tough economy. We're updating the markets here and where they stand coming into the end of 2010. And one thing I was talking about before the break was that there is some divergence developing between the U.S. and European shares. And that's interesting and also logical. First of all, you might say, well, it's logical that the European stocks have not kept up with the U.S. stocks during December. After all, there was more pressure on European bonds and stocks in November when Ireland had to be bailed out by the European Union because its banking system was failing and it was unable to service its debt without some sort of restructuring or help. That put a lot of pressure on European stocks and some pressure on U.S. stocks, but the U.S. stock market recovered and has set a new high above the November high, at least for the most part, major averages like the S&P and Dow. But what we look for is divergences, meaning indices or markets that are not confirming other market highs. For example, at the October 2007 record high in the Dow of 14,164, there weren't many averages that accompanied the Dow to a record high that month. And as I remember, many country stock exchange indices did not accompany the Dow to a record high. And that was the start of a decline. Same thing happened in January 2000. Right after the December 31st, 1999 peak in European shares, the U.S. stock market, the Dow, went up for another 2 or 3 weeks and then peaked. And it was the European bourses that signaled the 2000 top, or at least it peaked first. Now, in this case, do we have another situation like that developing? Many people feel that the U.S. stock market needs a correction. Of course, a lot of people also say, well, hey, it corrected quite a bit over the summer. In fact, it was very volatile. At one point, the S&P 500 was down 16% from the April high. So isn't that a correction? Well, yes, it is. But since then, we've had another run-up, as usual, relatively light volume. And we are seeing some of those divergences develop. So if you look at some of the European indices, like before the break, I was mentioning the United Kingdom ETF, and as we look at other ETFs like iShares S&P Europe 350 Index Fund, that symbol is IEV. That ETF is well off its November high and perhaps trying to make a run for it by the end of the year, but it's It's probably 4 to 5% off its November high. The European Union ETF, symbol EZU, well off its November high. And in turn, that's off its January high. So there has been some lagging in Europe. And recently, with the November highs, we're not seeing Europe confirm the U.S. highs. In fact, neither has China. And then when we look across the globe, we see various states of confirmation or non-confirmation with the U.S. Canada has confirmed by moving up to a new high with the U.S. And then when you look at Australia, it's a little bit below its November high. Whether that remains for the rest of the year remains to be seen, whether they remain below their highs. But if they do fail to set new highs above their November highs, then we have the same kind of divergence we had 10 years ago. And perhaps the same kind of divergence we had at the October 2007 high, record high in the Dow. And that's how it all starts. What happens is you see a market rally go for weeks or months, typically, and it's global in participation, very broad. But then you see that, you see one of those corrections like we saw in November, and then invariably, if the market's going to peak, the last rally thins out, and you don't see as much participation. You don't see as many sectors at new highs. You don't see as many countries confirming new highs. And that's how it all starts. That's how a correction all starts. So we really have the groundwork for one, because interest rates are rising, and the market is forgiving that right now because they were so low, and they were at emergency lows that the Fed put them at during and after the crash of 08 and 09. And so it's logical that rates would come up. But nonetheless, rising rates are typically not good for stocks. And at some point, this may be the case here too. It just remains to be seen. But we're going to be watching that not only into the end of the year, but into January, these non-confirmations, to see if they last and see if they're signaling a correction in stocks, because we have had a good run-up from the August correction low. After all that volatility over the summer, we've had a good run-up again. And typically a market is healthier if it backs and fills along the way instead of growing in price to such excesses that you end up with a collapse or crash afterward. That's what was concerning me earlier this year when the market went up in very low volume, low volatility, all the way to the April high, and then when it finally corrected, it cut loose to the downside and staged not only a lot of volatility, but the flash crash, the so-called flash crash of early May. Better that the market corrects the excesses and backs and fills along the way, in my view, and perhaps the view of many professionals, than go up so much and so fast and so consistently that it finally, when it corrects, it collapses. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but we are seeing the S&P 500 having extended this advance, and the market extended its advance from the correction lows in June, July, and August, depending on which index you're looking at. And we're not only seeing those non-confirmations from Europe, but we're also seeing the banking sector seriously lag. When the financials lag, you typically don't have a healthy underlying economy, and you typically don't have a sustainable rally or advance in stocks. Now, we have seen a rebound from the crash low, and it has lasted until now so far, but absent the financials, it's really pointing out a problem in the economy. The financial sector and banks in particular just simply not as profitable as they need to be to get their prices higher. And also, bank lending in the economy is still tight. The economy is still tight with respect to lending. And that's why I was saying earlier on the Health and Wealth Network that there are even REIT companies, real estate investment trust companies, moving in to fill that hole where bank lending is difficult. For example, for the devastated construction industry, home builders, developers who may be A-rated, creditworthy, and willing to personally guarantee for their company's loans, unable to get bank financing until lending loosens up, some of the REIT companies are moving in and lending money. REIT companies may be flush with cash in some cases, and they're filling that void. That's the incentive that the marketplace provides. When there's a hole in it, companies can move in. Nonetheless, we'll be watching all of these factors, and what would be good, I think, for you is that you take a look at your portfolio and find out where the concentrations are, find out if it needs to be rebalanced in any way to adjust to economic conditions. We can help you with that with a portfolio review. All you have to do is call 877-578-5788 toll-free. That's 877-578-5788 toll-free. We'll give you a portfolio review that we load into the software and take an X-ray of your portfolio. We'll help you with that. This is Dan Ascani with the Defending Your Money Show. Catch me every day, every weekday, that is, 5 p.m. Eastern, WSBR Money Talk Radio. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani of Ascani Wealth Management, located in the Golden Bear Plaza in North Palm Beach. Now it's time for you to take action. Give Dan a call and set up your free consultation, 877-578-5788. That's toll free, 877-578-5788. Or check out the website at www.ascaniwm.com. That's ASCANIWM.com. And join us every day at this same time for Defending Your Money with your host, Dan Ascani, on AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's Money Talk Radio. The opinions expressed in this sponsored program is strictly related to post-station callers and not necessarily those of restrictions, staff management, or sponsors. Featuring the very best in business broadcasting, you are listening to AM 740 WSBR, South Florida's only Money Talk Radio. The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of the station, staff, management, or sponsors. This is Capital Concept with Jeff Schuler, brought to you by Liberty International Financial Services. This is...